The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're diving deep into something I think we've all struggled with. Making good habits stick and, well, maybe ditching some bad ones, too.
Definitely. If you've ever, you know, set a New Year's resolution and watched it crumble by February.
Guilty.
Or felt like you just lack willpower.
Mm-hmm.
Then this conversation is absolutely for you. We're looking at the science behind it all, drawing heavily from Dr. Wendy Wood's fantastic book, Good Habits, Bad Habits.
Right, and our mission here isn't just more self-help tips, it's about understanding the actual science of how our behavior works. Because honestly, the way we usually approach this,
right,
relying on pure grit, it often fails.
It really does. And Wood's research reveals why. Get this. About 43%, almost half of what we do every single day isn't a conscious choice at all.
43%, wow.
Yeah. It's habit. It's automatic stuff triggered by our environment. Mm. So trying to constantly use willpower to override that, well, it's like swimming against a really strong current. You just get exhausted.
That makes so much sense. Okay, so before we get into the how, let's talk about who is telling us this. Wendy Wood. She's not just offering opinions, is she?
Not at all. That's crucial here. Dr. Wood is a heavyweight academic. She's provost professor of psychology and business at USC. We're talking decades of actual, rigorous, evidence-based research.
So she's the real deal, the scientist who actually built the framework for understanding habits today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's the one doing the controlled experiments, looking at the data. Her work isn't based on anecdotes, it's science.
Yeah.
And it really dismantles some popular myths.
Like the famous 21-day rule.
Oh, absolutely. Smashes yeah. That one. Her credibility comes from cognitive neuroscience, behavioral economics. Basically, the hard science of why we do what we do, even when our conscious brain is screaming, don't.
Okay, so let's get into the core idea of the book. If it's not about willpower, then what is the key to changing our behavior?
Well, Wood says we need to stop looking inside ourselves for some magical source of motivation and start looking outside at our environment, our routines, our systems.
Because almost half our actions are automatic anyway.
Precisely. So yeah. We need to learn how to use that automaticity. Her whole framework is built on these three pillars: context, repetition, and reward.
I really like that term she uses, becoming a choice architect. It's not about brute force. It's about designing your life so the good stuff is easier.
It's incredibly freeing, isn't it? It shifts the brain from I'm lazy or I'm weak to, okay, my system isn't set up right. It's a design problem, not a moral failing.
So the goal is engineering things so the good habits are like the default path, the path of least resistance.
Exactly, and making the bad habits harder. You want your automatic self working for you, not against you. Lasting change comes from smart design, not just trying harder.
Okay, to really get why design is so important, we need to understand the brain's two systems, right? There's the conscious part.
Right, the deliberate system. That's your prefrontal cortex.
Yeah.
It's slow, it takes effort, it handles planning, complex thought,
yeah,
and it gets tired. It's like a battery that runs down.
The CEO making the big decisions.
Yeah. But then you've got the habitual system, mostly in the basal ganglia. This thing is fast, efficient, automatic, tireless. It runs all those routines without you even thinking.
Like driving a familiar route.
Perfect example. The deliberate system is like doing complex math problems all day long. You can't keep it up indefinitely. Wood's point is, relying on that easily drained system for everyday routines, choosing the salad, not checking your phone, it's a losing strategy for that huge chunk of life, that 43%.
Which brings us straight to pillar one, context. You called it the silent director, and that feels spot on. It's the location, the time, who you're with.
All those subtle cues. They're powerful triggers that launch habits without you even noticing. Control the context, she argues, and you basically control the habit.
That popcorn study you mentioned is just wild. People eating stale popcorn just because they were in the cinema context.
Yep. The habit eating popcorn at the movies was so ingrained that the context cue, being in the theater, overrode their conscious dislike of the taste. The environment basically forced their hand.
So my evening snack habit might not even be about hunger. It's just the couch plus the TV equals reaching for chips, even if they're like cardboard.
It's very possible. It sounds unsettling, but think about the flip side. It means you can change the behavior by changing the context, not by somehow finding more willpower.
Which leads to her really practical strategy, friction.
Yes. Friction is the master lever. Want to build a good habit, make it easier, reduce the friction.
Like putting your gym clothes right by your bed removes that little barrier in the morning.
Exactly. And for bad habits, you do the opposite. Increase the friction. Make it inconvenient.
Delete the distracting apps, or at least bury them deep in a folder.
Perfect. Or, you know, leave your credit card at home if you tend to impulse buy. You're using strategic hassle to help yourself out.
Okay, so context sets the stage. Pillar two is repetition. This is where the neural pathways get carved, right? What about that 21-day thing?
Gone. Debunked. Wood's research shows it takes, well, a lot longer. Anywhere from 18 days to, wait for it, 254 days.
254. Okay, yeah. Definitely not 3 weeks then.
No. And the key isn't just the time passing. It's the consistency of repeating the action in the same context. That's what builds the automaticity.
So doing something small, like flossing one tooth every single day after brushing, that's way better than trying to floss perfectly once a week and giving up.
Infinitely better for building the habit, which is where her habit stacking idea comes in. You piggyback the new habit onto an existing one.
Ah, like doing 10 push-ups right after you turn off the coffee maker.
Exactly. You use the cue from the old habit, coffee maker noise, to trigger the new one.
Push-ups.
Smart.
Right.
You're hijacking your existing autopilot.
Very clever. Okay, that brings us to pillar three. Reward. And the timing here is crucial, isn't it? Long-term goals don't cut it.
Not for forming the habit, no. The reward needs to be immediate, like right away. That's what gives your brain the little dopamine hit that says, hey, remember this action? It felt good.
So the reward for exercise can't just be, I'll look great in summer. It needs to be something felt now.
Right. Maybe it's the endorphin rush, the sense of accomplishment, maybe listening to your favorite podcast only while you exercise. Something immediate connects the action to pleasure in the brain's primitive learning centers. Distant rewards are too abstract for the basal ganglia.
She had the great example from Ghana about hand washing.
Yes. Telling people about long-term health risks didn't work well. But giving them soap that smelled nice and felt good, that immediate sensory reward, that worked wonders because the pleasant feeling happened right then, reinforcing the washing habit.
Makes perfect sense. But there's a dark side to immediate rewards, too. The compulsive loop.
Oh, yeah. This is where variable rewards come in. Unpredictable rewards. Think slot machines or social media notifications. You don't know when the good thing will happen, so you keep checking, keep pulling the lever.
That uncertainty makes it more addictive.
Much more. That unpredictability creates a really strong compulsive loop in the brain. It's powerful stuff, used intentionally in app design, for instance.
This whole perspective, it really does feel liberating. Let's recap some key themes. First, big one. Willpower is depletable. It's not infinite.
Absolutely. Stop thinking of it as a moral virtue you just need more of. It's a resource for handling new, tricky situations. Don't waste it on routines you could automate. Design your environment instead.
Second, context is king. We keep coming back to this. Your environment shapes you more than you think.
Yeah, shift the focus. Stop blaming yourself. I'm just not disciplined. And start analyzing your setup. Okay, what cues in my environment are triggering this? It's about system analysis, not self-flagellation.
Third, the practical tool. Friction is the master lever. Small changes to convenience or inconvenience can have huge effects without needing any willpower.
It's your secret weapon as a choice architect. Make good things easy, bad things hard. Simple, but profound.
And finally, this idea of consistency over intensity. Small, regular steps win the race.
Totally. Building those neural pathways requires consistent repetition in a stable context. Aiming for tiny, achievable actions every day is far more effective than grand, unsustainable gestures. Floss one tooth.
Okay, the book is full of these really sticky ideas. Let's share a few key quotes or concepts that really stand out.
Good idea. The first one just hammers home the scale of this automaticity. Wood says, about 43% of what we do every day is repeated in the same context, usually while we're thinking about something else.
That just stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? Realizing how much is happening without your conscious input.
It really does. And it makes you think, okay, I need to make sure the right things are on autopilot. Then there's this one, which totally reframes what self-control even means. People with high levels of self-control are not a different breed of human. They are masters of reducing friction.
Oh, I love that. It's not about being inherently stronger. It's about being smarter with design. It makes it feel achievable for anyone.
Exactly. It's a skill, not a superpower. And this last one. It's a bit humbling, but also brilliant. The conscious mind is the press secretary for our actions, not the CEO.
Huh. So we're just explaining after the fact why we did something the habitual brain already decided on.
Often, yes. were incredibly good at coming up with logical-sounding reasons for behaviors that were actually triggered by unconscious cues or habits. We rationalize more than we reason sometimes.
Okay, let's make this super practical. How can people apply this design thinking to everyday life, say health or money?
Right. For health, forget relying on willpower to avoid the cookies. Just don't buy them. Increase the friction. Make the bad choice harder.
And make the good choice easier. Keep a fruit bowl on the counter, water bottle always full and visible.
Exactly. Decrease friction for the good stuff. For finance, automation is key. Set up an automatic transfer to your savings account the day you get paid. Don't make saving a decision you have to make each month. Make it the default. Removes all friction.
What about productivity? Or breaking a really stubborn bad habit?
Productivity loves context design. Create a specific work zone. Maybe a certain desk, certain music, noise-canceling headphones where you only do focused work. Train your brain that this context equals deep work.
And increase friction for distractions, like using website blockers during work hours.
Absolutely. Make it annoying to check social media. For breaking tough habits, context disruption is powerful. Think about that Vietnam vet study Wood discusses.
Right. Soldiers addicted to heroin in Vietnam, but most just stopped when they got home.
Because the entire context changed. The stress, the peers, the availability, all the cues disappeared. It shows how dramatically changing your environment can break even strong addiction loops, often without immense willpower struggles. It's about disrupting the triggers.
So my big takeaway from all this, it's just the sense of relief, honestly. Knowing that struggling with habits isn't some deep character flaw.
It's about understanding the mechanics of your brain.
Yeah, the power isn't in trying harder, it's in designing smarter systems. I'm literally moving my phone charger out of the bedroom tonight. That's friction.
That's perfect choice architecture. Okay, so here's a final thought for everyone listening to mull over. Wood points out that big life changes, moving house, starting a new job, even coming back from vacation, are windows of opportunity. They naturally disrupt your old cues.
Ah, so you can use those moments strategically.
Exactly. Think about any upcoming changes in your life. How could you consciously use that disruption to break one or two old habits and deliberately install new ones by setting up the context, repetition, and reward from day one? Be your own choice architect during that transition.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.